It's a common thought you sometimes hear when someone's saved. They think that now that their sins are past and they've been saved from the eternal judgment of God, then maybe life should be bliss. There should be happiness and joy. And in a sense, it is true. We do have true joy knowing that our sins are forgiven, knowing that we have been reconciled with Almighty God, the God who is that judge of all things. He is righteous and demands perfection. And we are now reconciled to him. But it would be wrong to think that we no longer face battles and difficulties and strife. This is the reality of living in a fallen world which is at enmity with God. And we're living with the remnants of our old self, our old nature. The flesh is corrupted by sin. There is work to be done. We are constantly under attack from the world, from the flesh, and from the devil. We know this in one sense, but it still comes as a shock to us sometimes. And sometimes things happen to us and we think, we don't deserve that. What happened? And even though in reality, only by the grace of God, we know we deserve far more. We know that our sins are deserving of the wrath of God. But we're still tempted to think that way. So the subject I'd like to consider tonight is this. This is the anticipation of battle, knowing that we are facing a battle. And not just anticipating the battle, but the instruction that we receive four times in this chapter. And that instruction is, be strong and courageous. This is the Lord's command, and it comes with a promise. It's not just a command to be strong and courageous. He says he will help us. And it's better than that. Not just that he will help us, but our battles are his battles. And that's what we'll see in Joshua. So preparation for battle is key. If you're a man of war, you're not going to go into battle without preparing for war. So we need to prepare for battle. But when we're taken off guard by something happening, that can lead to a situation that is difficult to deal with. Sometimes something unexpectedly happens, and our human response is, oh, what are we going to do? Of course, we know the answer is to take to the Lord in prayer. But I want us to consider how we should expect these difficulties. And these difficulties are in accordance with God's plan. And knowing that the Lord is with us and helping us and fighting for us, then we can face these battles with strength and with courage. So, let's consider the situation we just read in Joshua. Moses has recently died. Moses was that great leader. He's led the Israelites for the last 40 years through the wilderness. Through Moses, the Israelites have seen God working many amazing miracles. There's the plagues of Egypt, rescuing them as slaves out of the clutches of the Egyptians. The parting of the Red Sea, where they went through on dry land, but the waters came back and destroyed the Egyptians. There's a water coming out of the rock when they were thirsty. The manna from heaven. So many amazing miracles that the Israelites witnessed. And now Moses is dead, and they face this immense task of conquering the land of Canaan. They're about to cross the River Jordan and face their first battle at Jericho. This is naturally a very daunting prospect. They have many enemies to conquer. But God has been preparing Joshua. You turn back a few pages into Deuteronomy chapter 31. Of course, the preparation for Joshua goes back way, way back. Joshua is Moses' understudy. We're just sort of picking the highlights at the end of Moses' life. and the significant encouragements that he received at the end of Moses' life. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 to 8. So this is Moses speaking. He's 120 years old. This is his last speech to the Israelites. And this is what he says, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And then, of course, that echoes what we read in Joshua chapter 1. The Lord himself is now speaking to Joshua and saying much the same thing. He is to go forward. Be strong and courageous. So when Moses is encouraging the Israelites and Joshua, he makes sure they understand there's not just a command to be strong and courageous, but he reminds them that this is the Lord's work. The Lord is with them. Back in Joshua chapter 1, in verse 5 and 6, this is where we read similar instructions from God directly now to Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So God is now confirming to Joshua what Moses said. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So he's encouraging him. He must stand strong. He must be firm. God is with him. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Then move on to verse 7. So he's got the command, be strong and be of good courage. But now look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So now he's got some more instruction. He is to observe the law. He is not to veer off to the left or the right. He needs to be careful. He needs to be dedicated to the law that has been given through Moses from the hand of God. And he promises that he will prosper. Now, that word prosper, some might think, ooh, that sounds prosperous. Is that a prosperity gospel? Now, the word prosper there is saying what God has promised will come to pass. He will prosper in all that God has instructed him. Okay, move on to verse 8, another instruction. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So again, he's encouraged to stay with the law of God. And we have instruction there that we should heed. This book, God's word, should be in our mouth. Day and night we should meditate on it. This is what we should be speaking of. And if we walk in the ways of God, he will prosper us. Prosper us in the ways of God. And then verse 9. This is like the bookends of this encouragement. He starts in verse 6 by saying, be strong and good courage. And now he finishes on verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So Joshua, don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Don't be dismayed at the task ahead. It might be a mountain, it might be a difficult task, but God will be with him. Okay, so it's not going to be easy. They got to conquer this nation, or these nations, wicked nations. They got to destroy cities. But he has clear instruction and a clear promise. But as you all know, things didn't work out too well in Canaan, did it? Many battles were lost. Many Israelites were killed by the hand of God. They were taken into captivity. What went wrong? Well, Moses warned them what's going to go wrong back in Deuteronomy 31, look at verse 29. So in Moses' speech to the nation, he warns them. In verse 29, he says, he knows these people well. "For I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands." I don't know how you would feel if you were there. I think I'd be very demoralized. Great. But this is intended as a spur for them to stay true to God. Sadly, that wasn't the case. So yes, they corrupted themselves. They turned from God. They left off following the great God Jehovah. The nation went astray, distracted by the nations around them, instead of destroying them. This was their serious mistake. This is what made the trouble in the land so bad for them. And we too need to be watchful. We need to be watchful that we don't wander off the track, either to the left or to the right. We don't fall into sin. We get distracted by the ways of the world. There is an ongoing battle to mortify sin. This is a crucially important subject. And that's a subject, the mortification of sin, the pastor is dealing with these midweek meetings. But that's not my focus for tonight. Imagine, if you will, if the Israelites didn't turn from God. What if they didn't sin against God? They didn't go their own way. They would still have many, many battles. And that's my point. No sooner had they crossed the Jordan that they faced their first battle at Jericho. And when that battle was completed, they were on to the next battle at Ai, and so on. They had many cities to conquer. They had many enemies to remove. They had the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, all of them. And this was all part of God's plan. It was God's plan to use the Israelites to remove these wicked nations, to conquer these cities, and God was going to use the Israelites to do this. And we see that in Leviticus 18, quite explicitly. This is God's judgment on the nations. This is explaining why all these nations had to be destroyed. It wasn't just a God who decided that he was going to destroy a people for the sake of it. These were wicked people. I'm in the wrong book. Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18, then, in verse 24 and 25, it says this. "Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. The land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants." So this is God's judgment on the nations. They are defiled, they have defiled the land, they have gone far, far from the holy God, Jehovah. And God will punish them and destroy them. And he will use the Israelites to that end. And Canaan will be their promised land. just as God had promised. So it was never going to be an easy path. These battles were necessary. The battles repeatedly tested their faith in God. Even if they weren't a wayward people, they would be tested by God in these works. They had much work to do. They were normal farming people. They had to work the land, and the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. And there was hard work to do as well. There were these fierce battles. Sometimes these battles were insurmountable odds against them. They were outnumbered, or they were weary from a prior battle. But God was on their side. They prospered in the way while they were obedient to God. And that is what we find in life. Whether you're a young person starting out in life, facing pressures of the world, standing firm for Christ, we need to go forwards with Christ, and He will be your strength. Or maybe you're a young mum or a young dad with a young child, and you're trying to raise this child, and this child is constantly reminding you that they're born sinners, and they test your patience every day, and they maybe show the sins in your life. Walk each day with Christ at your side, and He will be in the battle with you. All the more mature saints amongst us, facing the difficulties of old age, eyes growing dim, the weak knees, the prospect of that final battle, He will be with you, leading you across Jordan to glory. We will all continue to face these battles to the end. But be strong and of good courage. I will be with thee, says the Lord. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God is faithful. He cannot relent. God is God. It's impossible for Him to change His mind. He cannot break His promises. And He has promised that He will not fail us, even if we fail Him. Before that first battle in Jericho, there's a wonderful account of Joshua meeting God by the Jordan. You'll probably remember it. It's quite a famous passage. The Israelites have just crossed over Jordan, and they're preparing for the first battle, and a man appears to Joshua with a sword. He introduces himself as a captain of the host of the Lord. I'm sure you remember it. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to the end says this. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? So he's a bit worried by this man with a sword. Is he on our side or their side? And the man said, nay, you don't understand, Joshua. But as captain of the host of the Lord God Jehovah, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's hosts said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So Joshua recognized that this man was deity. He worshipped him, and we can only worship God. He was told to remove his shoe, much like when Moses met God in the burning bush. This was God in bodily form. This was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So Joshua saw that it was not his battle. This was God preparing him for the battle. And he could see now, this is not his battle. He was not fighting this battle in his own strength. This was God's battle. There's a whole host out there, a whole army that he's not even aware of, who are fighting this battle. The Lord would be there in the battles, ensuring that God's will be accomplished. Come what may, God's will be accomplished. Yes, Joshua and the people had to engage in war. It was tough. God used the Israelites, but their battles were only won through God's sovereign hand directly involved in the battle. I'd like to finish this by looking briefly at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 is an interesting passage. It's like a commentary on the passage we've just considered. It's commentary on the Israelites conquering Canaan, the land of Canaan. The first part of the chapter talks about God's promised rest for his people. And it talks about how the Israelites didn't attain that rest. They didn't achieve it. They didn't have that rest. And the reason it gives is because of unbelief. They failed. But the promise still stands. The promise is to all God's people, we will attain that rest. There's also a warning, if I remember right, verse 11, yes. In verse 11, there's a warning that we must labor, therefore, to enter that rest. There again, we need to, this is a journey that is full of battles. We had to labor to get to the promised land. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So he's commenting there that don't follow the example of the Israelites, lest you fall the same way. We need to labor to enter into the rest. Now, the conclusion of this chapter is the bit I wanted to focus on. The conclusion, the last three verses, is interesting. This is where he concludes that Jesus Christ is our rest. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Let's read it together. Verse 14, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let's stop there a minute. So holding fast our profession, what's he saying there? We should hold fast the profession of our faith. Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Faith in God's faithfulness. Faith in the promises of an unchangeable, unchanging God. Jesus Christ, our high priest, is now sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding on our behalf. Let us hold fast to our profession of our faith in him. Verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus Christ, as a man on earth, he experienced all the problems that we face and we experience. He's not immune to these things. He knows and understands. So yes, Jesus experienced tiredness. Jesus experienced temptation. He experienced slander, rejection, and many other things besides. He knows and understands what we experience in this life. He is our great high priest. And just as any father would console his child, he says, I know what you're going through, and I will help you. And then finally, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And friends, that is what we are here tonight to do, to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and we may find grace to help in time of need. Let us rely and act upon the reality of his promise. I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and courageous. Amen.